That's all, what we all hope to hear from the Lord, isn't it? My good and faithful servant. But the moment you say the pretty words, you're not faithful yet, are you? Faithful is something that has to be proven. Listen to this, what Peter says. And I want to read this all together so you see some context. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come. What's the purpose for trials? Those things you don't like. Those things you don't like. Those happenings, those events in your life that nobody's fond of. They are trials. Where does the word trial come from? To try you. It comes from the same root when you get tried in a court of law. To try you, to test you. Trial. Right? Kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by the fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, I want you to notice two things here. Right now, that inheritance you have that can never perish, spoil, or fade is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. The coming salvation that's ready to be revealed. Right? All right. It also says that your faith, which is greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, that refining pictures that trial, those trials, may be proved genuine and may result in glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Do you see the connection and the context between Jesus being revealed from heaven and your salvation being revealed in the last time? How many of you see that context? That Jesus being revealed from heaven is your salvation being revealed. And your faith has the goal that it may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed, which is your salvation revealed. How many of you can follow that context there? Is this true or not true? So, what does this do to something like this once saved, always saved doctrine? I want you to think what faithfulness does here. Faithfulness. And we're going to look at some examples of faithfulness. It really does, doesn't it? Well, let's look at some other examples of faithfulness from the Scripture, and I want to post them. Excuse me. Let's go back here. Let's start with Matthew 24. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Now, I want you to see the context here. Why did the Lord make him ruler over his household? Why? Why? Somebody tell me, why did the Lord? Because he was faithful. Now, was that something that had to be proved? Look at the parable of the talents. He gave each one so many talents, went away into a far country, and he came back to see what they had done with it, to receive his increase. In order to be received well by that master, they had to have done something with that talent. They had to have proved faithful with it. What happened to the one who didn't prove faithful with it? Who buried it? He was assigned a place with the hypocrites, wasn't he? He lost it. Even what he had was taken away. He buried it. He invested it in death. And this backs up the point. So, he had proved faithful, this faithful and wise servant, and that's why he was put over the household. Right? All right, how about this one? His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, this backs up what we're saying. Faithfulness has to be something that's proved. Your faith has to be tried, or it's not faith. Now, this takes a process, doesn't it? This takes time, doesn't it? Untried faith is not faith. It has to be proven. All right. All right, let's look at this. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. Wow. I want you to see a real point here that relates to your life. Right now, you've got to understand the talent you've been given to be faithful to. You've got to understand that there's a great purpose, not only in the Holy Spirit as a deposit in your life, bringing you to the hope of the resurrection, building that character in you, drawing you close to God, helping you to enter into communion, marking you and sealing you as one that belongs to God, but also, and a seal as a guarantee that it is that God will keep His promise to you if you continue in faith or prove faithful. But I want you to see another aspect of this now. And this is something you really need to see. You really need, as an individual, to concentrate on this in your life. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. Now, this is the point. Right now, of the Holy Spirit, as compared to what you were promised in its fullness, you have that little, don't you? You've been given a talent. You've been given a small talent. And it's small in the world's eyes, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? The Holy Spirit, that deposit of God's Spirit, is small. But your whole purpose is for it to increase, isn't it? You know, just like they had to take that individual talent their master gave them and risk it. They had to risk it, didn't they? They couldn't hold on to it and say, oh, I'm not going to take a chance with this. I'm going to bury it. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to make sure nothing happens to this. And then do nothing with it. They had to stand out in faith and take a risk, didn't they? They had to put it to work. They had to take a chance. Isn't that what you're doing in faith, is taking a chance on God? And the talent He's given you is the Holy Spirit? Are you going to take a risk with that talent to increase it? Are you going to step out in faith and trust God? Are you going to do something with it? And we've all been given a certain amount of talents, you know, in the ways of the gift of the Spirit. Some, you know, some two, some three, some five, some one. But you've got to take a chance with it. And if you were faithful in the little, that deposit of the Holy Spirit the Lord has given you, then you will be rewarded with much. But if you're unjust in that, if you're not faithful in that deposit of the Spirit He's given you, then He'll never trust you with more of that Spirit, will He? And your goal is the fullness of the Spirit, isn't it? Isn't that your goal? In the Spirit without measure? In that communion? To grow? Now, what does this do to this whole idea of once saved, always saved? Can you see this? That you have to prove faithful what God has given you with. Now, how many of you see what I'm saying here? If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now here's an interesting point, another addition about faithfulness, another aspect. God has given you physical gain, hasn't He? In one way or another, He's given us all. Whether it be food or clothing or a good job or a nice house, He's taken care of us, hasn't He? Can you be trusted in those, in what He has given you? Those physical things? Can you be faithful in those things? Have you been? How will He ever trust you if you're not a good steward over the physical things He's given you? How will He ever trust you with true riches? You see, this is something that we've all got to understand now. That the character that is being built in you now in this process is the character that will last you for an eternity. Character. And if you have the character to be faithful, then there is a trustworthiness that's considered toward you in eternity, isn't there? And you'll be trusted with true riches. But if you're not faithful, if you can't be faithful in the things you see, how can you ever be faithful in the things you can't see? And it takes time to prove this, doesn't it? It takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime. And let me tell you a sad fact that should scare just the pants off you. The majority of those who call themselves Christians don't even know what faithfulness is. They don't know what talent they've been given, and they cannot be faithful in unrighteous mammon. They cannot be faithful in the things of the flesh, with the things of the flesh. They don't even know what faithfulness is. And these doctrines, and I'm not just harping on a particular doctrine, but this doctrine that has pervaded Christianity of the minute you say the pretty words, you're done, you're saved. This is not helping this whole situation, is it? In fact, it's misleading people that they do not have to be faithful. And they will never learn what faith, hope, and faithfulness are through this in this way, will they? Can you see these important points? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Ooh. Wow. Now think of what this has to do with the Holy Ghost. What you've been given belongs to somebody else. How are you righteous right now? I want you to see this, really see this by the Spirit. How are you righteous right now? Are you righteous of your own standing, or is it Jesus' righteousness? Whose righteousness do you stand in right now? Faith in Christ. Amen. It's not your righteousness, it's His. Now, in the Holy Spirit being given to you, Mike, has Jesus' righteousness been entrusted to you? Has it? Has a portion of that righteousness been entrusted to you? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give to you that which is your own? Ooh. Faithfulness has to be proved. Tried. Beginning to see something here? How many of you see in it? I mean, you know that it is our hope, those of us who have a part in the first resurrection, to be the principalities and powers, to rule and reign with Christ for that 1,000 years. Is that part of your hope in the resurrection? To rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years over this world? To share with Him in His bounty, in His rulership? Isn't it? Isn't that your hope? Do you know, how many of you know that? That we become the principalities and powers. Right now, Satan and the prince and power of the air, and he's out there with his demon hordes in the atmosphere, and he tries to rule over the affairs and the kingdoms of men. But through Jesus, he is defeated. Jesus now has him under his feet. Jesus now is sitting at the right hand of the Father in charge of everything, right? And Jesus, what does Jesus say? Sit here until I make your enemies a footstool. And that's what we're waiting on. To be shown that, to be manifested that Jesus is in control of everything. And that will happen when Jesus returns, won't it? That's when the manifestation of His rulership will begin, and the day of the Lord will begin, and we'll be resurrected to rule and reign with Him. And while Satan and his demons are cast down, we will rule and reign with Christ from the heavenlies over this earth. And on this earth. And Jesus made this promise very clear in that parable. And He said unto him, Thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, and have thou authority over 10 cities. Remember that? Faithful is just like how many, authority over 10 cities, just like being given more talents. The early Christians understood this, that faithfulness was something that wasn't just granted or taken for granted or assumed. It was something that was proved through what you did and who you were. Listen to this in Acts. And when she was baptized in her household, it says of this woman, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, it's not important who this woman is. The point is, can you see through this that they understood in that time, that the believer understood that faithfulness was something that had to be proved, that had to be judged, that had to be recognized. Not just in other people, but in ourselves. If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, do we think that way today? Do we really think that way today? Ooh. Interesting, isn't it? I want you to see what Paul said to this. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Do you understand what it means that when Jesus returns, it asks that he'll be looking for faith in the earth? Will he find it? He'll be looking for faith. In other words, for those who acted as stewards and are found faithful. Found is when he returns. The condition he finds them in when he returns. This should be your mantra. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That should be the church's mantra. Shouldn't it? They were concerned about being proved faithful. Not just before God, but in the sight of their brothers and sisters, and even in sight of the pagans that they've testified to. It was an important for the reputation of God as being a representative of God and being His people. Look at this. Look what Paul wrote about Timotheus. For this cause I've sent to you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now listen, for this cause I have sent you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. Now, was that just words to Paul? Is it just pretty words? Is it just a pretty build-up for Timotheus? Is it? Was he just giving Timothy a good build-up here? Or was he serious? Did he mean what he said? That he is faithful in the Lord? Was it something that was tested? Something that was shown? Something that could be seen? Of course it was. Wow. I tell you what. The church is the faithful. That's who they are. When Paul addressed his letters, listen to this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. To the faithful. Not just people who claimed that they had faith, or claimed that they believed, but to those who are faithful. That's something that has to be proved. The minute you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the only faithfulness that's accounted to you is His. But you then become a steward over that faithfulness and must continue in it. Is that true or not true? The only righteousness at that point you have is what belongs to Him. And you become a steward and you must be faithful. I mean, and we could go on all day like this in the Scriptures. And we have left these guideposts. We have left these border stones. We have left these altars that are so deeply buried within the very heart of Scripture. We have left them. Faithfulness is not a prerequisite in the church today. Why? For a person to hold a position, they must have proved faithful. For a person to be considered truly a minister of God, they must be seen and recognized as faithful. For a church to be able to send out ministers and missionaries, it must be people who are recognized as faithful. There is a standard here, a standard of conduct, a standard of morality, a standard of belief, a standard of faith. And it's intimated all the way through Scripture. Faith's not just a word. But we have an entire generation who don't know what faith is. An entire generation who don't know what hope is. An entire generation who wouldn't recognize faithful if it bit them on the nose. Now here's where really the rubber meets the road. You must look into that spiritual mirror in that communion with Jesus and ask about guidance about your faithfulness and revelation about your faithfulness. Are you proving faithful? Remember, as it says, the quality of each man's work will be tested. Examine yourselves. Thank you. That's the verse I was going to say. Thank you, Rocky. Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. What is that proving your own self about? It's about faithfulness, isn't it? Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? Can you not test that? Faithfulness. Unless, of course, you're a reprobate. Now, all of this together, where does that put the once saved, always saved doctrine? It shouldn't even be so much as a slight question in anyone's mind. Faithfulness and the testing of your faith is a process. And the character being formed in you is about forever. It is that character that will serve you forever. And that character must be proved, tested, faithful. And that's why your faith is of greater worth than gold. Because that's what's buying you your place in the kingdom. Eternally. Your particular niche in the kingdom is going to be decided by your faithfulness here. And every man will be rewarded according to what? His works. And how do those works come? Through faith. Because the fact is, if you really do believe, you will act upon those beliefs. Right? And not just when no one's looking. It's a good place to stop. But it is a prerequisite for being a child of God, faithfulness. And you've got to ask yourself, where are you being faithful? And where are you not? Amen?